For anyone who hasn't heard yet, the holiday season is here. Every year, as Hoyt pointed out, the commercial parts of Christmas seem to begin earlier and earlier. Decorations in the stores in July, Christmas candy before we've even celebrated Halloween, holiday music on the radio by the 1st of November. James and I have a favorite song by the a cappella group Straight No Chaser, and one of the best lines is, "Heard this same song 20 times, and it's only Halloween." But now, we've gathered around the Thanksgiving tables, we've eaten leftovers until some of us are probably tired of them, and we've turned our attention toward Christmas. The holiday season is definitely here. As a society, we tend to jump from Thanksgiving straight to celebrating Christmas. Santa brings up the end of the Macy's parade, and there are ads everywhere for that must-have gift and perfect tree. But as Christians, today marks the beginning of a different, special, and sacred season, one that serves as a buffer between the regularness of ordinary time that we completed last Sunday and the celebration of our Savior's birth on Christmas. That season is Advent, and it's a time of waiting, preparing, and anticipating the wonderful good news that is to come. When I was a little girl, we lived outside Cleveland, Ohio, in the town of Shaker Heights. We went to Heights Christian Church, a big suburban church with bright green carpet in the sanctuary and huge, huge steps up to the front door. They're probably not as huge as they seemed to me when I was 5 or 6 years old. One year, the church distributed a little book of family devotions to be used at home when lighting candles on the Advent wreath. My sister was about 5 that year, just barely old enough to read and remember her part in the devotions. I still remember well the first Sunday's reading. An adult, usually my mom, read, "Today is the first Sunday in Advent." The youngest child, my sister, asked, "What is Advent?" And my mom replied, "It is the season to prepare for the coming of Jesus." My family pulled out this little book and read these devotions every Sunday from that year until I left for college. I bet my mom still has that little booklet. As my sister Allison got older, she got more and more impatient with her part in the reading, typical teenager, and her questions were more and more bored. "What is Advent?" But to me, the little ritual was an important part of the weeks leading up to Christmas. It was a reminder that Advent is different, a special time set aside to prepare and wait for Jesus. And secretly, I looked forward to the ritual of reading these devotions and lighting the candles every week. Don't tell my sister. Instead of just rushing through what can be a busy time of shopping and decorating and wrapping gifts and going to parties and eating and drinking and so much more, what would this Advent season be like if each of us took a little time to anticipate the wonderful celebration to come? This morning, JT read for us the story of Zechariah, a Jewish priest and father of John the Baptist. Zechariah's story is one of my favorite ones, especially during Advent, because it helps us remember that special events are sometimes preceded by a time of listening, waiting, and anticipating. We can learn a lot about how to wait and how to prepare from Zechariah. The story of Zechariah begins in the temple in Jerusalem. He was a priest, part of the order of Abijah, which was one of the 24 orders of Jewish priests created to honor the 24 sons of Aaron, who was the first Jewish priest and Moses' older brother. Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, who was a descendant of Aaron, probably meaning she was the daughter of a priest herself. Elizabeth and Zechariah were holy people, dedicated to following all of God's rules and commandments, and Luke described them both as righteous. And yet they had no children. Elizabeth and Zechariah had been praying for a child, but they were advanced in age. One ancient source says Elizabeth may have been as much as 88 years old, and therefore were not really expecting to become parents. If you were a Jew listening to the first part of this story in first century Jerusalem, The fact that this couple had no children would have caught your attention. Women living at this time in history were expected to have children. Being unable to conceive was blamed on the woman, not the man, which is why the scripture describes Elizabeth as barren. Being barren was considered a disgrace and a sign of God's disfavor. So listeners might have wondered what Zechariah and Elizabeth, who followed all the commandments and lived a righteous life, had done to displease God so much that he kept her from getting pregnant. But it turns out God was not punishing them. Instead, God had a big surprise for them. Zechariah was going about his usual responsibilities as a priest one night. Each order of priests took care of the temple in Jerusalem for 1 week twice a year. One of the most important jobs was burning incense at the altar in the inner room, a place so holy only the priest appointed for that job could enter. That night, Zechariah was chosen to burn the incense, a job that usually only came around once in a lifetime, and one he had been waiting to do. And while he was alone in the inner room, an angel appeared and spoke to him. Not surprisingly, Zechariah was terrified. Imagine how you'd feel if you were going about your daily or nightly work when an angel showed up. And not only did the angel appear, but he informed Zechariah that his elderly wife Elizabeth would become pregnant, that the child should be named John, that this child would bring joy and gladness to many people, and that the child would prepare Israel for the coming of the long-promised Messiah. That's a lot to take in all at once. At the time when Jesus and John were born, angels appeared from time to time to bring important messages to God's chosen people. In the Gospel of Luke, an angel appeared to tell Mary she would have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he would be the Son of God. In Matthew's Gospel, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him that the baby Mary was carrying was God's son, and he should go ahead and marry her. And later, after Jesus was born, an angel appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth. In all these appearances, the people were initially afraid, but believed what the angel told them and followed the instructions they were given. But Zechariah's reaction to the news the angel brought was different. He didn't believe the angel at first. And really, who could blame him, considering how far past childbearing age he and Elizabeth were? So he asked how he would know if this news was actually true. And he got his answer almost immediately. The angel informed him that from that point forward, he would be unable to speak until the promised baby was born. Sometimes it pays to be careful what questions you ask. Not surprisingly, the other priests and worshipers gathered in the temple wondered what was going on. Usually the priest who burned the incense was in the inner room for a very short period of time, just long enough to fulfill his responsibility, and then came out and blessed the worshipers before they left. Zechariah did not come out quickly, and when he did arrive, he couldn't speak. He could only gesture. They knew he had seen a vision, but they had no idea what had happened or what was to come next. The next few months after Elizabeth became pregnant, as the angel promised, were a time of quiet waiting. Elizabeth went into seclusion for the early months of her pregnancy. Zechariah was still unable to speak, although we can imagine he communicated with Elizabeth by writing notes and probably told her what the angel had said to him. During this time, Elizabeth's cousin Mary also became pregnant with a special baby, but that's a story for another week. I can imagine both Elizabeth and Zechariah had a lot of time during those months to think, to pray, and to anticipate what God had in store for them with this new baby. It was a time of waiting, a time of anticipating for both of them. And then Elizabeth's baby was born. Her family, neighbors, and friends all came to celebrate this new baby, and they rejoiced especially because they believed that God had finally shown her mercy by giving her a baby after so many years of being unable to conceive. On the eighth day after the baby was born, the priests came to perform two important rituals that happened to all Jewish baby boys. Circumcision, which marked his official entry into the Jewish community, and naming. Because Zechariah still couldn't speak, the priest decided the baby would be named Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth jumped in and declared that the baby would be named John. Speaking up like this, and especially contradicting a priest, was a shocking breach of social norms for a woman of this time. The naming of babies, and especially boys, was an honor reserved for the father, so Elizabeth's opinion was not really considered very important. And the priest questioned the name she chose. Nobody in either family was named John, so it was an odd choice. The priest got a writing tablet, handed it to Zechariah, and asked what the baby's name should be. Zechariah wrote, "His name is John," affirming what Elizabeth had said and what the angel had told him. And immediately, Zechariah could speak again. His faithfulness to God's plan, as shared by the angel, freed him to regain the power of speech. We didn't read this passage today, but the first thing Zechariah did after 9 months or more of being mute was to praise God. You or I might have expressed anger or frustration or resentfulness, but Zechariah responded with praise. There's a lot happening in the story of Zechariah, from his time in the temple to the naming of his son John. It may feel like it's an ancient story that's not really connected to our experiences today, but many of the themes ring just as true at the beginning of Advent 2022 as they did before John and Jesus were born. Zechariah and Elizabeth were everyday people. This story helps us understand that God uses humble, ordinary people to do surprising things. Zechariah was a priest, but he and his wife lived a quiet life in the hill country of Judea when his responsibilities didn't require him to be at the temple in Jerusalem. Zechariah was going about his regular work as a priest when God's angel showed up with an unbelievable message. The story of Zechariah is startling because the angel went to great lengths to make sure Zechariah believed God's message and followed God's instructions. I'm sure Zechariah wondered why God chose him, especially during the long, long months of Elizabeth's pregnancy when he could not speak. And yet he did follow God's instructions by naming his son John. Many of us may feel equally small and ordinary, and we may not feel ready or worthy when God calls us. And yet God knows what we are capable of, and God is with us through our surprise, fear, and disbelief. God tends to surprise us with new directions and paths for our lives when we are least expecting them. We may not be visited by an angel bringing good news, but we can still hear God's instructions as long as we stay awake and pay attention. The story of Zechariah is also a study in waiting patiently. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a child for many, many, many years, but had given up a hope of ever having one, especially as they got older. And even after the angel appeared and told Zechariah that Elizabeth would have a baby, they had to go through many, many more months of silent waiting before the promised baby actually arrived. Being patient is difficult, whether you're a child or a child at heart waiting for Christmas morning, or an expectant parent waiting for a baby, or someone who's struggling and waiting to see what God has in store for your future. As I said a few weeks ago when I preached about the parable of the mustard seed, God's plan for each of our lives and for our collective life as a faith community unfolds in God's time, and our human action cannot speed up God's timing. And we may not understand the whole story right now, just like Zechariah didn't understand the whole story when the angel first appeared. God does things in God's time, and we need patience to wait and listen quietly for God. This season of Advent is a time to practice patience, to resist the temptation to skip forward and just celebrate Christmas right now, as fun as that would be, and instead to enjoy the anticipation of a wonderful event to come. As a community of faith, we're also moving through this season of Advent with a feeling of uncertainty about what our church community will look like in the next few months. We don't know what our future will hold, And yet I believe with great confidence that God has plans for us here on Sugarloaf Parkway, plans to share the good news through the people who gather here to worship and learn and do outreach and build relationships. This time of Advent is a time of waiting and anticipating and preparing for the places God wants us to go next. Waiting and anticipating doesn't mean we're doing nothing. Just like expectant parents are assembling the crib and installing the car seat and washing the baby clothes and stockpiling diapers, we have much work to do to prepare our own hearts and spirits to receive the gift of Messiah at Christmas. Advent is a time to reflect honestly on where we are in our faith journeys and where we want to go, and to connect with God through regular prayer. Even if it doesn't seem like God is answering right away, keep praying and keep listening, for God will respond in God's own way and God's own time. There's a 2008 Christmas song by Amy Grant that really speaks to me this time of year. You may have heard it. It's called "I Need a Silent Night." She sings about the craziness of December traffic and parents trying to get the perfect Christmas photo and hurried shopping and people rushing around trying to buy Christmas peace. The chorus of the song says, "I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night." It's hard to take time and wait to wait and reflect during the craziness of December. And so I'm going to give you a small Advent gift this morning, the gift of time. As Kim plays some soft music, I'm going to invite you to take 2 minutes to pause and reflect or pray or just listen. What are you waiting for this Advent? What will the good news of Christ's birth mean for you this year? How are you preparing? Let us take this time to reflect in quiet. May you find more time for peaceful reflection and quiet listening during this season of Advent as we all wait and anticipate the coming of the Christ child. Amen.